Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio, and I, of course, am Dan Frio. There's going to be a trio here today. Me, my buddy Pat Noon, he's our CPA on the team. And if you ever need any tax advice, tax resolution, anything of that, I highly suggest you use Pat. Any of my clients that need help, I get this a lot. Dan, I know you need my last 2 years' tax returns, but I didn't do them. What's the first thing I do? Pat, I need your help, buddy. You over there? So he's here with us. And then George, the producer. The reason why I asked for this trio is today I want to go over credit. Credit scores, credit issues, credit questions, credit. Credit is such a big part of your life. I don't think most people get it. So, hopefully you're listening to this on AM 1160 or you're listening to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or watching us on YouTube. But if you would, please reach out and give us some questions that you have. That is what we're looking to do in this, because there's so much bad information out there that we're trying to give you good information. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming back in, Pat. Hey, I know it's a long drive from St. Chuck out there where you live.
St. Chuck.
Right.
Pat's office is about a half mile from my house.
That's like the patron saint of hamburgers. Yeah.
So I live in St. Charles. Patrick's office is in St. Charles. Mm-hmm. George, we won't say where you live because people might try to track you down.
I'm pretty easy to find, probably. It'll be the last thing they want,
yeah,
though.
So today, I created a website, and it's called creditscoresandmore.com.
You didn't create it today.
I didn't create it today.
Yeah.
The reason why I created it was, many people that I can't help, it's not because of their income. And even if it was, there's nothing we can really do about their income. I can't, miraculously.
And you can't lie about
it. Make more income in the next 2 weeks?
The thing about math, it's sort of black and white.
Yeah. I think they call that mortgage fraud.
Yeah. And I knew some guys that went to jail for some of that stuff.
Yeah, I knew some of them too.
And the next thing is down payment. So, if you're looking to buy a house, the biggest pieces of the puzzle are your credit, your income, and your down payment, or lack of.
Correct.
So, your income I can't do anything with.
Down payment, you either have money or you don't.
There's
some programs.
You can save for it.
Sure.
Let's say you could save for it, but it's going to take
you get a gift.
Multiple paychecks.
Yeah.
So, the biggest piece of the puzzle, or the easiest piece of the puzzle to work with sometimes, is credit. So, basically what I want to do today is open up the forum and you guys ask questions. And if I don't know, I'll find out for you. But the questions that you guys probably have, and Patrick, you're in accounting, you're a CPA, you probably know a lot more than the average person. So if you don't know these answers, I can almost guarantee you the person that's applying for a mortgage probably doesn't know these answers.
I'd be willing to make something up if need be.
just start shooting.
I have a question.
Yeah, go.
So when you go to freecreditreport.com and you get your credit score, and then somebody goes to someone like yourself, Dan,
right?
Typically your credit, after you pull it, it's going to be lower than freecreditreport.com. And they say that there's a difference between a soft pull and a hard pull. Can you explain what the difference is between a soft and a hard pull?
I didn't even write
your credit
score. Great question.
That's a great question. I didn't even write it for you. So a lot of So what a soft pull is.
Showing off at this point.
Yeah. What a soft pull is if you pull your own credit for reference purposes.
Correct.
So you just want to check your credit for accuracy. Okay. That doesn't hit your credit score, meaning it won't deduct any points off of that. And that is, in essence, called a soft pull. Okay. A hard pull is when you're applying for credit and a creditor, however you say that word, pulls your credit because you're seeking credit. It's not a You know, because there's a lot of inaccuracies.
It's not just
on
the Inquisition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of inaccuracies. I think the study says 1 out of 5, it might even be 3 out of 5, I forget the number, of people have incorrect information on their credit reports. So I highly suggest you getting a copy of your credit, true credit report, and we'll go over some numbers, how many there are, you know, here shortly.
We certainly did. We had a lot of wrong stuff.
But in that, so the difference is the soft pull is you pulling your own for your information or for your review. And that doesn't affect your credit scores at all.
Okay.
A hard pull is me pulling your credit because you're seeking credit. So it's a hit saying this company pulled your credit for credit references to see if they will grant you a mortgage, a car loan, a credit card, homeowner's insurance, things like that. So those are the two differences in the credit pulls and credit scores.
Gotcha.
Got it. What are you chiming in there?
I had nothing at the moment.
Gotcha.
But I could if you'd like.
Okay. We had
stuff that was wrong
Pat's
on
up again.
Reports.
You know.
I got another question.
Yeah. You're like a little kid over there salivating.
So for borrowers that exceed the Fannie Mae limit, okay, jumbo borrowers versus conventional borrowers, what's the cutoff is somewhere around 400, 4.25, I forget what
credit score?
No, for the borrowing before you get out of the conventional arena and you're considered a jumbo.
Your loan limit. Hold on, it just changed. Bear with me.
While you're looking it up, what would be your general premise there? I knew a guy who used to do two loans for people who would avoid the jumbo loans. But you said that you do the jumbo loans with a lot less hassle than it used to be the case.
Yeah. So there's different variations of that. I'm pulling it up right now, and I apologize. That's a great question, and I should know the answer
to it. As long as you have the volume jumbo off on your laptop now.
Yeah, it's off. The new credit limit for a standard conventional loan has just been increased to $453,100.
There you go.
Which doesn't buy you much
a
in
whole
the
lot.
City.
Yeah. No.
You can get
nothing,
a bungalow for nothing. Under that, but you're not going to get any kind of anything anywhere close to downtown or...
Oh, no, not at all.
You know.
So if you're going to put 20% down so you can avoid PMI, then you're probably looking at about $500,000 home.
At most.
Well, here, I'll answer kind of the question in a couple ways. So a jumbo mortgage is any mortgage amount over the $453,100. So that's that piece of it. And I have great jumbo programs. Mm-hmm. I am now finally, after 30 years in this business, very, very, very competitive with all of the banks out in the country when it comes to jumbo mortgages. Not a lot of lenders like those loans. It's bigger risk. But most of the times, they're more solid clients with higher scores, higher incomes, and things like that.
That's what's so conflicting about it is when I was married before, we lived in Frankfurt, and it was $1 million home,
mm-hmm.
and we were certainly not, we were a jumbo borrower.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, if you're willing to give me all this money, why are you charging more of an interest rate than a conventional borrower? To me, it didn't make sense.
Yeah. So now, as a broker, I was limited because of the companies that we were set up with, and not a lot of them liked jumbo loans. Don't ask me why. I don't know. Now, I'm with a lender, Parkside Lending. We love those loans. And now I compete with all the banks in the country for those loans.
And now your jumbo rate's close to your conventional rates?
Yeah, they're very
rates.
Close. Yeah.
But don't you kind of have to love those loans at this point? When you look at the price in you know, your area in St. Charles, if you're living up in Deerfield or Gray's Lake or somewhere, almost all of those really nice houses are at least $350,000 to $500,000, never mind in the city.
Oh, right.
You really have to with the values that goes out. You have to love the jumbo loans. Otherwise, you're... Yeah. Sort of just saying goodbye to a certain segment of the business.
And it's frustrating because a lot of the jumbo clients, I'll give you a fact. There's less foreclosure percentages on jumbo loans than loans under $100,000.
I bet.
Okay. So I won't go into the details of that, but there is less default on those than on loans under $100,000. That's why you'll see a lot of lenders don't go with jumbos, and their minimum loan is $100,000 or more. So they're basically in the sweet spot. They don't want to take the extra risk. They don't want all that money, using up all their money on the high end, and they don't want the default risks on the ones and the other.
We ran into a chunk of that. I know you're almost on time, but we ran into a chunk of that when we were looking at houses, which is we had found some rehab houses, you know, that were fixer-uppers, which was right in my wheelhouse, but you know, we couldn't get a loan for 60.
Yeah,
there was no way.
It's well,
you fix the house up, it's worth $200,000. But
there's a reason for that in Illinois.
Of course.
There's what's called the high cost triggers. So those high cost triggers are this. Basically, your fees cannot exceed 3% of the loan amount. So you buy a $60,000 house, you buy a $60,000 house.
Right.
Your title fees are going to be probably $2,000-$3,000.
Right.
Your lender fees
cannot do.
Might be a grand.
Yeah.
You're already out.
Yeah,
I mean, you're almost out with your appraisal fee on a $50,000 home.
Yeah, so it was
so that's why that. So when we come back, I'll answer your question in regards to those. They used to package deals together, and we called them 80-20s or 80-10s or 80-10-10s. Or what I mean by that is the financing percentage of the home. So it's an 80% loan and with a 10% home equity loan or second mortgage and 10% down and things like that. So I'll explain how and why people were doing those when we come back. But if you have any questions such as this, please give me a call. 630-338-1160. You can find us on the web at 1160mortgage.com. And again, all these, if hopefully you're listening live in Chicago, but if you're watching us or listening to us on iTunes or Spotify, or the biggest exposure we get is on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe down below, leave a comment, share the videos. But any comments you leave, I promise you, I will return your comment or an answer to your comments, or I'll give you a thumbs up just thanking you for listening or watching. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. I got my, we're a trio today. Me, Patrick, and George. Patrick's my tax guy.
You might regret this.
If you need, why I ask Patrick here is there's a lot of information I don't know, and I refer him clients when I always get that. I need your 2 years tax returns, your pay stubs, your W-2s, and they're like, I haven't filed my taxes. It's like, ah, jeez. So, okay. So I want to answer George's question about the 80, the splitting up of loans.
Yeah, because
so
there's tax implications now that weren't back then.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You were talking about jumbo loans and the limits on jumbo loans, which were, what was it now?
453.1 is the max on a conventional loan.
That rules out, if you're limiting yourself to that number, that rules out a lot of available properties.
Oh, absolutely.
Around Chicago, area, especially.
Downtown,
you're
you
done.
Probably can't find a loft
you're done. No.
For $500,000.
You might be able to find a janitor closet. Yeah. With a running sink.
So here's why
but
people...
But that 453, that's just in Illinois. I believe it's in California,
New York. It changes.
It's higher.
Right. Yeah. So, and why we're not considered one of the high cost limit areas...
Nuts? Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts.
I mean, we're the same as like Alabama, I think. So here's the reason behind the... When you said people used to break up loans to like 80, 20s, 10s.
Right.
So here's what that means. You're buying a house, and when I reference 80, 10, 10 or 80, 20 or something like that, I reference, let's say, for example, you're buying a $100,000 house. So that'll be our peg line. When we say 80, that means 80% of the home's value. Okay, so 80 of 100 is $80,000. So what happens is there used to be financing that would allow to go to 100%. You could do a primary loan at 80, and then when we reference 20, it was a secondary or home equity loan that would pick up the 20. So you can do an 80-20 and basically get 100% financing. The benefits there is, one, obviously the 100% financing. Number two, because the primary loan was at 80%, you didn't have to pay PMI.
Correct.
So that's how that works. And then you can also break that up into 80-10-10, 80-15-5s. They all total 100. But, you know, nowadays what's starting to come back are the 80-10-10s, meaning you can get an 80% first, a 10% home equity loan or second mortgage, and then you only need a 10% down payment.
Okay.
So, but Pat, What's the, tell us about the tax consequences on that home equity loan or second mortgage. Now, let me ask you a question. Answer, think of that one for a second. But is there a difference between a home equity loan tax-wise and a second mortgage when it comes to that interest write-off? So what I mean by home equity loans is the home equity loan. Like usually it's a line of credit and, you know, used at that
such. They set you up with a checking account.
Yes.
Correct.
A second mortgage is just a steadfast, it could be a 30-year term of X amount. So is the taxes on a home equity loan and a second mortgage still potentially non-tax deductible?
Well, initially when the Trump tax law came out, the initial position was all interest on home equity loans was out. No more deduction for home equity loans, which back in the day, a lot of people use it, let's say, to purchase an automobile because there was no deduction for automobile interest,
right,
you know, on the car loan, but yet you could deduct it on a home equity. So you'd go to the dealership, cut them a check for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, whatever the cost of the car was, and then you could deduct the interest.
Mm.
Well, with the new Trump law, initially the ruling was no interest deduction on HELOCs or home equity lines of credit.
Period.
But then they backed off of that and they said, okay, we will allow you to deduct second or HELOC interest if the loan proceeds were used to purchase or improve real estate. Okay. So you still could not get a deduction if you used the HELOC to buy a car, to go on vacation, or maybe to fund your son or daughter's college. But you would be able to deduct the interest on the HELOC if it was used to either purchase or improve the real estate.
Well, who's gray as all get out.
Who's going to, is it my job as a tax preparer to go out to my client's home and say, okay, show me where your loan proceeds were used to either purchase or improve real estate?
So let's say I have a $50,000 home equity loan and I buy a car for 20 and then I go buy some appliances for 10. And then
redo a bathroom.
The other 20 you did for a bathroom. You would take a percentage of total. You take 40.
And then I need receipts and everything to show that I paid this through that and this and that. That could be, you're chasing
crazy.
Your tail.
That seems like the sort of thing that was maybe conceived to avoid people going, hey, This is what we've always used this for.
Can you imagine
being
audited?
Mad at them.
I mean, it's like...
I don't have to imagine being audited.
Yeah, same here.
And the thing of it is, if you were to ask a client, were the loan proceeds used to either purchase or improve the real estate? Of course they're going to say yes. Who's going to say no?
Right.
Yeah. So when this Obamacare came out, I had to be the healthcare police.
Right.
You show me your healthcare policies. Now I have to be the home equity loan police.
And you have to show me your balance, plus then where every penny of that home equity loan went.
Exactly. It's crazy.
It's just
so if you are
up.
Getting a home equity loan and you're planning on spending a majority of it on repairing your house or adding on or something like that, is it best maybe to just get another bank account and just use that one bank account for the home equity loan payment and then paying out?
That's a lot of pain in the butt.
It is, but is it less of a pain in the butt than having to itemize everything
and distinguish
it from your other spending?
For my small business clients, I do something similar. I tell them, get a separate checking account for the business, okay? And everything business related goes through that account. Everything personal goes through your personal account. And even get a separate credit card. And use that credit card just for business.
Gotcha.
So there's no commingling going on.
I did that, and it helped me quite a bit with wholesalers when I used to do heating and air conditioning because they don't like to sell to the public. So if I was to use a credit card, I would have to use one with my own name on it.
How did we get onto this? We were talking about credit, weren't we?
We started 25 minutes ago talking about credit. We've talked about a bunch of stuff.
Pat, you have to have another credit question. You were salivating 10 minutes ago. No? George?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. There's a thing known as front-end and back-end ratios when you're going for a loan.
Yeah.
What is a front-end? And for those who don't know, what's a front-end ratio and what's a back-end ratio? And where are those limits
now? Great question. So the front-end. So here's ratios. Here's what we mean by ratios. And we reference them as your debt ratio. Basically, that's your budget. And what that is it's your debts on your credit report divided by your income. Okay. So the front end is this. Your front end ratio is your mortgage payment only.
Correct.
Divided by your gross income. That's your front end. And then the back end, or the total debt ratio, is all of the credit on your credit report plus your mortgage or proposed mortgage.
That has a life of 1 year or more. Right?
Divided by, yes, 10 months or more. It depends on what it is. Okay. That's kind of skewed a little bit because, for example, a car lease doesn't matter. You can have three payments left. They still count it.
They still
because they once your lease is up, you got to get another one.
You got to go get another one.
Okay. Right? So the front end is your mortgage payment divided by your gross income. Your back end, or your total, is all of your bills on your credit report plus your mortgage or proposed mortgage divided by your gross monthly income. So the ratios, there's a rule. I got an email the other day and the lady's like, well, I know I exceed 43%. It was used to be like 37, 43.
Way back in my savings and loan days, it was 28 and 36.
Okay. Wow. Now it's FHA basically most of the time looks at your back end ratio kind of only. You can go to 57.
Don't you think that's driving us right back to where we were before?
I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
57% of my net take home pay is for the house. Well, I have nothing. What else do I? Right. I got no money left. Yeah.
That's not the norm, but it happens.
Maybe they're just making the realistic assumption that a lot of people have
cash
off the books income.
Yeah.
So I don't need to know. I don't need to know about that.
Conventional financing will go to 50.
Get the IRS right back on your ASS.
Yeah. Exactly.
Usually the percentages they want is 37
on the front end.
50 on the back end.
Whoa, that's still high.
It is still
okay. That's
half of my take home pay is going for the house. The other half has to pay the utilities.
Yep. I'm not saying it's food, right or wrong.
Food, cars, credit cards.
You, to be fair, if you're looking at the real estate taxes included, perhaps 57% is fair.
Yeah. So that's the answer to those questions. So.
I got one more for you, and it's okay if we run long. I can trim fat for the radio, and this will leave this in for the YouTube. But
I got plenty of that to be honest.
If somebody, I think all three of us are probably in the same boat. So you were talking about hard pulls and soft pulls, and you're talking about the different scores, and the score you see, the consumer score, is not necessarily indicative of what you'll see, getting a car loan or getting a home loan.
Right.
Is there a way... I'm setting up your shameless plug here. Is there a way that I can actually get those hard pull numbers, those bank numbers, and see that without having the inquiries on my credit?
Yeah, and it's not freecreditreport.com.
No.
It's not your free credit once a year from TransUnion, Equifax, Experian.
Well, what is
it's
it
not,
then?
So go to, and this is a great plug, thanks. Go to creditscoresandmore.com. Go to step two. It'll cost you, I think it's like $47. It'll give you all 30 plus of your credit scores.
Now you can get your regular scores for free and you get all the resources.
But here's the thing.
You go in a little deeper on that, you can really honestly see, because one of the things that we ran into was we pulled our credit. We were in the high 600s. We're like, great. Started going for the home loan. He goes, you guys are in the low 500s. I can't do anything with you.
Yeah.
I said, that's a major discrepancy. Now I knew there were other scores. I didn't think it would be that bad.
Well, I got the offset of that this week.
There were things that were on that report that just simply did not show up.
That's common.
It would have saved us, if I knew those numbers going in, it would have saved us 6 months in our home buying process.
Yeah. So that's common. So go to creditscoresandmore.com and click number two. That gives you all 30 plus of your credit scores. Make sure you meticulously go through it because it'll show you, here is your TransUnion Series 4 mortgage score. Here's your TransUnion Series 4 auto score. Here's your TransUnion Series 9 auto score. Oh, it'll give you everything. It'll give you too much information,
Can I ask you one more credit question?
Sure.
It was about a year ago that the IRS stopped reporting liens on credit reports. What has that impact
that helped?
Been?
Really?
That
helped. Yeah.
Yeah.
It helped dramatically.
Yeah.
Dramatically.
But
I didn't know that.
But
yeah.
does it still impact the purchase transaction, even though the IRS is not on that credit report?
That's a great question.
Does like the title company?
No.
Somebody.
Nobody knows. If I'm the buyer,
nobody knows. If I'm a buyer and I got a tax lien on me.
Right. You know.
I know, but maybe nobody else.
But what if you're selling your house? Like the tax liens typically, tax liens typically on property or just income?
No, the IRS, when they file a lien, it's on all of your current and any future property.
Yeah. So what will happen is it depends on how far that went. Sale. Because we pulled they call it LexisNexis, or they pulled judgment affidavit searches on people's names.
Okay,
some of that might show up on there. I just recently had a client who we found two or three judgments that did not show up on the credit report.
Correct.
And then it was like, oh boy, you know, we got problems. So it depends on if it's found. Now
you got problems if you didn't come to me, because I helped somebody with that issue, and we were able to get the loan through. We went to the lender and we said, here's IRS revenue ruling 68-45.
Now, if somebody had that problem and they needed to come to you, how would they reach you?
Yeah.
630-415-5296.
Awesome. Again, I greatly thank you for everybody listening to today's show.
This was a great show.
That was not bad. Sometimes when you just wing it, it's kind of cool. So hopefully you like the show. If you would, please reach out to us. Ask us some questions. Get more information. Keep yourself educated. Give us a call at 630-338-1160. Find us on the web at 1160mortgage.com. And please, if you're watching this on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up. Make sure you subscribe. Leave some comments down below. I promise you I'll get back with you. God bless. Have a great night. Take care.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.